Back in 2006, I had fun imagining in my book Culture Warrior a future State of the Union speech by a U.S. president named Gloria Hernandez. Here's a summary of that imaginary Paul's goals and philosophies.
A sharing of wealth by targeting the affluent for most of the government's revenue. Lax school discipline on American children to promote their so-called liberties. Naked hostility to religious values and their expression in public. A one-world approach to foreign relations that would prevent the U.S. government from imposing a policy that would benefit America first. A touchy-feely vision of our society that places individual self-expression and rights over self-sacrifice and adult responsibility.
Did I get it right? Well, I made one serious mistake. I imagined that this would be the platform of a president elected in 2020. Looked at a calendar lately?
The brilliant men who forged the Constitution understood that Americans should have the opportunity to pursue happiness without government interference. They also believed, for both moral and practical reasons, that the greater good must always take precedence over individual selfishness. The SP notion that the U.S. government has the right to seize private property, which is exactly what the estate tax achieves, for example, but under stealth wording, or redistribute legally earned income from the affluent to the poor, runs counter to the founding spirit of America in every way. Look at the evidence. The USA became the strongest nation on earth because individuals working their butts off created a unified powerhouse. Right now, our national slogan is, "The more you make, the more we take, and we're not even going to watch how we spend it."
Throwing our tax dollars away has become the new national pastime, replacing baseball. Usually, as I've noted in the introduction, I'm not likely to disagree all that much with what I've opined in the past. Exceptions are notable, and I will note them. Most of these quotes from my writings will require no explanation. My core values have not fundamentally changed. Too late now. In fact,
politicians will argue, as many have on my program, that the government needs your money to operate properly. This is a lie. There's more than enough tax revenue available today to pay for the armed forces, roads, police, and other vital services without looting the take-home pay of working Americans. No, the reason our taxes are so punitive is right there in front of you. Obvious and arrogant wastefulness in government-run programs. Forget the 400-buck toilet seats in the Pentagon budget. The real killing waste is in programs that simply do not work.
I then noted the horrific failure of Clinton's $30 billion drug war and the $200 billion his administration threw at public education to no great effect.
I could give you hundreds of examples of ridiculous government waste, but that would take a whole other program. But you can trust me on this. The tax situation in this country is brutal, including the fact that your elective representatives and their opponents are using entitlements to buy votes. That includes Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Listen very carefully when the Pauls talk about these hot-button programs. Are they making sense, or are they pandering? You have to decide. The bottom line is that few government programs are run effectively or with discipline. What we call waste or pork is re-election insurance to our leaders. Besides, the prevailing wisdom is that there will always be more tax money coming in, so don't sweat it. Is it time for another tea party like the one given in honor of King George III in Boston Harbor? I'll meet you at the water's edge. Welfare has failed. Public housing is a shambles. Public education is a mess. The poverty rate remains unchanged, and yet the big government beat goes on. In 1766, Benjamin Franklin warned the British Parliament that if the stamp tax wasn't repealed, the colonies might well revolt. Today, our tax situation is revolting, sorry, but too many of us remain passive in the face of it. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and you know what? Those intentions are being paid for big time by all working Americans. It is enough to test even the strongest person's sobriety.
I don't expect any help from the Fifth Estate.
The sad truth is that most high-profile media people are looking out for themselves and themselves alone. On any given day in Manhattan, you will see them dining in incredibly expensive restaurants with other powerful people. You will see them at swanky parties and black tie charity events. You will see them at their lavish vacation homes in the Hamptons, Aspen, or Loudoun County, Virginia. You will not see them at Walmart. The split between we, the people, and the media is especially severe in the spiritual arena. A survey by the American Society of Newspaper Editors shows that the rate of atheism among journalists is about 20%, significantly higher than among the general population, where it stands at about 9%. When one in five media warriors doesn't believe in the existence of a supreme being, it's not hard to figure out why many press people support secular causes like unrestricted abortion, gay marriage, and restraints on public displays of faith.